We have a special treat for you this morning, and Jenny Kana, who has just come on staff with us in the last few months, is about to speak to you, and she's, in my best English accent, she's from Coventry, England. So she hails all the way from the other side of the ocean, but she is a great speaker. She has an amazing heart. This woman of God will bless you this morning. I know it. So Jenny, come and bring us the word.
Thank you. I'm sorry for the few woos that went out there for Dave's name. I apologize. If you were coming for your next installment on prayer, just hang in there, Tiger, for another week, because I have not got that for you, I'm afraid. But I'm sure that when Dave is back, he's going to blow you away, as he always does. I did consider, should I like try and fast track a face mask of Dave and just put that on just to give you a little something, but I don't think so. I don't think that would work. I'll try and work in a token yipper, if I can, from Dave. So I would like to speak to you on something a bit different. Where are the parents in the house this morning? Are they back from dropping off their children? Okay, so you're going to be quite experienced in this, I would guess. You might have some flashbacks or some senses of deja vu in this next part. And if you're a parent to a young baby, you'll get the condescending look from the other parents to say, just wait, this is coming. This is coming to you. I want to talk about tantrums. And so the internet is a beautiful thing, and I was able to find a few illustrations of tantrums from children. So the first one here, he doesn't want to go, even though we've repeatedly told him we're not going anywhere. And on this side, we wouldn't let him lick the dog. And obviously that causes great distress to children. We also have some more, I said good morning. I can relate to that. I am not a morning person. And so when I was back home, my mum and I would have a rule that we just wouldn't speak to each other in the morning because it's not worth it. And then my eldest brother is such a morning person. So he'd just be going a mile a minute and we would just avoid. Well, actually, I just sort of steer him towards my mum and then I would just carry on with my morning. This one, I wouldn't open his beer for him. Obviously, so distressing. And then the last two, she found out that I have a name other than Mum. I love that. And this one, she wouldn't fit through the doggy door. And then in brackets it says, note the open door right next to her. These tantrums, sometimes we look at it and we laugh, but actually I feel like sometimes God looks at us when we throw tantrums and he's a little bit like the parents and it's like, really? You're going to have a tantrum over that? And we look at it and we laugh and, you know, we think, yeah, the parents have got the right idea, so beer for a three-year-old, yeah, let's avoid that. We shouldn't be doing that. Doesn't need to lick the dog. That's gross. We're not going to go there. Crawling through a flap that is clearly too small when there's a perfectly good door on the other side. It's funny, but I wonder how many times that last picture in particular has been us spiritually, where we're trying to fit through a door that was never meant for us, and God has an open door right beside us, and God's like, seriously, the door is right there and you're still trying to squeeze your way through. Because no doubt the mum would have told the little girl, there is a door. She wouldn't have just left her in the flat, but obviously she wasn't having any of it. And we can often throw tantrums with God when things don't go our way. And I don't mean the sort of all-out screaming fit like you would see there, tears running down your face, although I'm sure that happens at some points, but often tantrums can look a bit different in our walk with God. It might be a lack of effort in a certain area. We've reached a point where actually we're like, okay, things aren't going my way, I'm just not going to bother anymore, like, let's forget about it. Or it might be intentionally not helping somebody. It might be a ministry that we're thinking, do you know what, actually, just forget it now. We can think that we're on a good track with God, but actually, spiritually, we're in a different place, and that shows in our attitudes and our actions towards people. And I can't stand here and say, like, that hasn't been me. That has been me many times, and I'm preaching to myself as much as I am to anyone else in here this morning. I get so annoyed when things don't turn out my way because I'm like, God, I've got a great plan. Like, why can't you just follow what I'm thinking? And why can't we align? Like, I want to do your thing, but it'd be great if your thing lined up with my thing. And that doesn't often happen. And so I thought about this and how in the Bible we have a lot of examples of people who have tantrums. And We have a saying back home, which is if someone's having a tantrum, we would say that they spat the dummy out the pram. Now, I know that's not a saying here because I said it to Linda once in a conversation and she just had this blank stare on her face and she did not know, and I explained it to her. But she really likes that saying now, but she often says it wrong. And so she would say, yeah, so they spat the baby out the pram. Like, no. No one should have a baby in their mouth to spit it out of a pram. Like, that's... Don't do that. Please don't do that. Don't think that from England we're teaching you that. That's not the case. It spat the dummy out the pram. And so when I was thinking about this in terms of the Bible, the first thought that came to my mind were the children of Israel. And after their freedom from captivity, they found themselves in the desert at the bottom of Mount Sinai. And to give a bit of context here, the Lord had just called Moses to the mountain. And he said he wants Moses to come and talk to him. And we find in Exodus 32, Moses is on the mountain. And the Israelites down on the ground, they're getting a little bit antsy. They're a little bit fed up with what's happening. So if you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to Exodus 32. And we're going to read verses 1 to 8. And so it says, when the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered Aaron and said, come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. Aaron answered them, take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing and bring them to me. So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, these are your gods, Israel, who brought you out of Egypt. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord. So the next day the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. Afterward, they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. Then the Lord said to Moses, go down because your people whom you brought out of Egypt have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, these are your gods, Israel, who have brought you up out of Egypt. We find here that they were not happy with the time it was taken for Moses to come back down. They weren't happy with God's timing. Like, this is taking too long. So they decided to take matters into their own hands. And I think if we look upon our own lives, we can find that we could probably find some situations where we felt the same. It's just taken too long. And so we're going to do it instead, God. Like, I'll do it for you. And it says in chapter 24 before this that the Lord said to Moses, come and talk to me on the mountain. And that the glory of the Lord settled over the mountain. There was this cloud. And then when it settled down for 6 days, and on the seventh day, he called Moses to him. And the Israelites saw the glory, and it looked like a consuming fire at the top of the mountain. Now, I know you guys have mountains here. We don't really have them back home. They're very minimal in comparison. But if you saw a mountain that was consumed in fire, and you've been told, this is God, this is the God that brought you out of Egypt. You know, they were there when all the plagues were happening. They were there when the Red Sea, when the sea was parted. They witnessed all of this. And they saw this fire on the mountain. And yet, they still couldn't wait. They had been in Egypt for over 400 years, and so much of that was in slavery, and now they're free, but they couldn't wait 47 days. You know, in comparison, it blows my mind when you look back at things and you think, how could they not? Like, they'd seen so much of God. They witnessed so much of what he did. He moved for them. Moses had his staff. The sea parted, you know. It confuses me to think, what were they even thinking? And what's even crazier is that they get to this point where they're like, let's build our own God to worship. And in chapter 20, we see God specifically tell them to not do this. Like, it's not like they were getting a bit fed up. So like, oh, what can we do to fill the time? God specifically said to them, don't do it. In 20 verse 3, he says, you shall have no other gods before me. And then in the same chapter in verse 18, he says, when the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They were afraid of God. And then in 22, it says, the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites this, you have seen for yourselves that I've spoken to you from heaven. Do not make any gods along to be alongside me. Do not make for yourselves gods of silver or gods of gold. He specifically said, don't do this. And it's the first thing that they think of when things aren't going their way. And I'd really like to know who was that person? Who was the first person that, you know, walked up to the group at the well and was like, hey, Ishmael, Elikim, Ezekiel, how's your wife? How's it going? Have you seen the mountain lately? Yeah? Still burning. You know what would be a great idea? Let's make a god. Anyone? Anyone feeling that today? And I feel like Ezekiel would look over and say, you know, Joshamite, I love your energy. I like what you bring to the group and the table, but pretty sure we shouldn't be making God. Do you know, actually, now I think about it, I'm certain we're specifically not supposed to make God. So, you know, good try. We'll figure something else out. And Joshua might say, come on, it's Monday. Let's be crazy. Let's do something different. Moses is taking way too long. Even better, let's just make a God for ourselves. Who's got silver? Anyone? Gold? Gold? Good. Let's go with that. Like, how did that even come about? We'll just Dr. Pepper it. What's the worst that could happen? You know, and there's fire in the background on the mountain. You know, like, who is that first person? You know, there's always the person in the group that brings the ideas, and they're always the worst ideas, but somehow you get swept along, and it's like, yeah, sure, that'd be a great idea. I'd love to know in heaven who that one person was. This is just... It's me, sorry guys. I made a mistake. But they were so impatient with God's timing and things not panning out on their timeline that they had a tantrum. They spat their dummy out the pram and they decided they're going to do what they knew they shouldn't. And I think to how many times that's been true in my life, and maybe you feel the same, that I just get so impatient with God. And it's not very attractive, but I do have tantrums with God, you know, like, I'm sure to him, he's like, I feel like we've been through this before, Jenny, you know, do you remember the last time when you threw a tantrum and did what you wanted and it didn't really work out, and then you came back to me on your knees, God, help me, and then 5 minutes later, I'm at another area in my life, like, tantrum. It's a cycle, isn't it? And I think this morning, God is trying to show us some places in our lives where actually we can think about, Maybe I'm in a bit tantrum mode there. I don't know what it looks like for you, but maybe it's waiting for a promotion at work that God has said would happen, but you've been waiting for a long time now. It's been over a year, and I'm fed up of staying in the same place, so I'm going to move on. And then you go to a new job and actually find yourself in a worse position than you were before. Or maybe it's God said he'd bring the finances, and you're not seeing the finances come in, so it's okay, God, until you open up this door, then I can't tithe, like I can't live, so I'm going to take it out of your hands, I'm going to put it in my hands, and I'm going to supply. Or how many people I know, this is the case from what I've seen in my friends' lives and people around me, but how many people would leave church or get into a relationship with someone who's not of the same faith because God's timing just isn't quick enough, you know, like it's taking too long, I need it now, and I'll sort it out. I'll do it if you're not going to do it for me. Their impatience for the Israelites actually building their own God and worshiping their God, the result of that led to the death of around 3,000 people. Because God's anger burned against them. He specifically said, don't do this. Don't make gods. And that's the first port of call that they ran to when things were taking too long. And I think about this, and when we take matters into our own hands, can anyone actually say here that when you did it instead of God did it, it worked out better? Probably not, because God's plan is always the best plan. And actually, looking at this story in particular, we know that God's plan is the only plan that leads to life. When we take it into our own hands, it often leads to death. And that can look different in different areas of our lives, but God has a plan for life for you. And someone else in the Bible who took matters into her own hands was Sarah. She was promised a son with Abraham, and too much time went by. It's kind of a common theme, isn't it? A thread. It's taking too long. And so she sent Hagar into Abraham to bear a child. And for those of us that are familiar with the story, we know that Hagar had Ishmael and they suffered a lot in their life for Sarah's impatience. The result of what happened from her tantrum led to so much hurt. And actually, we need to be aware, church, that sometimes our actions in a time of tension can cause hurt and suffering for other people, the people around us. When we go against God's plan and we try and take control of things, we don't just hurt ourselves, we can often hurt those around us too. And I wonder whether there's different types of tantrums too. There's this tantrum of things taking too long. But on the flip side of that, there's also the tantrum of when God is trying to move us on from something and we're not ready to let things go. I think maybe there are some of us today who are in a place where there's some things that God is prompting us to let go of and we're not ready. We're just holding on to it and we're thinking, this has been mine for a long time, God. You know, like I'm not ready to surrender that now. Or there's an area in our life that we know God is highlighting and inside you're just like, No. I know what you're saying, God. I've been there a lot of times. I know what you're saying, but no. Try again. Come back to me with a different plan. And I think it could look a little bit like this. So there's this picture of a little child with a blankie. So sweet. And when it was first bought, it was beautiful and it was clean. Has anyone's had a blankie when they were younger or the children have one? And we know that they cling to it and it's clean and it served its purpose. But what happens when the child has it and they drag it around with them everywhere and it goes in the garden and in the mud and the dog probably slept on it at some point. And so this blanket that was clean and it was beautiful, it becomes worn and it becomes tatty and it's a safety hazard with all the germs on it and the things that have been accumulated. But what happens when you take that away from a child? Tantrum. Anyone experience that? You try and take something away and you're like, I just want to clean it. Just let me put it in the washing machine. And just all out mess, crying, snot everywhere. Those sorts of times when it's just like, but I'm trying to do something good for you. Just let it go. And the child will not let it go. And I think that we can often have a spirit of tantrum like that in our lives as well, where we need to give certain things up. It might be, could be a ministry that we've been in for so long, or it might be a relationship. It could be a friendship. It could be a job. It could be bitterness, things that we hold on to. And God's asking us, you know, you need to give up now. You need to let it go and let me work. And we're just like, no, I've held this for so long. Like, I need it. I need it in my life. And God's wanting to move you into something better. We often feel like when we have to let go of things, that the option is worse. But we know that when we trust in God and we believe his plan for us, that the option that he has, the new course, is always better. Always better for what he has planned than what we could try and imagine. And if you look at this next picture, we have the baby. This is what some of us look like spiritually. How ridiculous. That's my brother. And, he doesn't know I'm doing this. He's going to kill me. I hope he doesn't watch this online. Oh, it's so big as well. Oh, wow. I'm sorry, John. Mum, if you're watching, please don't show him this. Sorry, bring it back, Jenny. But spiritually, some of us can look like this. That blanket represents something in our lives and we're holding on. It looked cute before, you know. It was fit for purpose in that stage in our life. And I'm not trying to say that people are spiritually immature, that you, please hear my heart, but there's a stage and there's a purpose for things in our lives. So there's a point when something is right. And there is a point when something looks ridiculous and it's not supposed to be like that anymore. We shouldn't still be in tantrum mode over the blanket that God wanted us to surrender a long time ago. We could be holding on to things, but they've become worn and useless in our life. Not the things that we have, if it's, say, for instance, a ministry. That doesn't mean that the ministry is worn and useless and the ministry isn't fit for purpose, but it means that in our lives, God has something different now. It might be time to hand things over or time to move on to a new season. And we need to let it go. We need to stop falling and defaulting into tantrum mode and change our perspective and move into a different mode. We have to let go of the past to be released into the future. So many times that we forget that we need two hands. And in church, you can't have two hands if you've got one hand still holding on to the past. And God is asking us to let go of what's in the past, because when we bring our hands with him, in alignment with him, to the future, there's something better. And so you can see my title here, it's Tantrums and Tandems, because I asked God when he first spoke to me about this, and I said, that's great, God, the tantrum thing, but what's the opposite? What's the alternative? And he said, the alternative is to work with me. Don't try and hold on to things. Don't spit your dummy out the pram. Don't throw a tantrum. Just work with me. And so we have this idea of working in tandem with God. And our life is, it's not about fulfilling God's plans on our own. That's not what he's asking us. A tandem bike has two seats for a reason. It's meant for two people. And God doesn't want you, you know, sitting on the handlebars as he's pedaling away and you're unsafe. He wants you on the bike with him. But to hold on to your handlebars, you need two hands. You can't have a hand clinging onto something in the past. You need to hold with both hands to be safe and to be in the best place that you can be. Our lives are a tandem ride with God. He's in the front seat and he's the driving force and he has the power and he's the best person to be steering, isn't he? He's the best person that we could put in charge of that tandem bike to lead us. There's no other direction that I would want to follow than the one that he's leading in. And so I don't even want to be in the front seat. I want him to steer, I want him to lead, and I'll just pedal along. And this reminds me of a few years ago, I went to a spinning class with a friend from work. And if you're not familiar with spinning, you sit on a bike, and from my experience, there is someone who took pleasure in my pain at the front of the class and would just shout at me to increase and decrease my speed. And I am not as fit as I think I am physically. And so I go to these sorts of things and expect to be really good and fall very short of my own expectations, let alone everyone else around me. And you have different resistance, and you change the resistance throughout the class. If you've been to a spinning class, this will probably be ringing with some bells. But this class I went to was to music, and the idea is that you're supposed to pedal along to the rhythm of the song. And it was all blacked out. There were like disco lights to try and hide everyone's sweaty faces and the awful faces you pull. And so it's not the rhythm, though. I was like, you know, none but Jesus. There is no one else. Nice and slow. You know, I can take that. Not like that. It's like proper disco songs, like really fast beat. And so you're pedaling away. And I thought that I was just going to scream from the pain in my thighs. Like, I could not handle it. Spinning is not for me. If you do it, more power to you, because it is not my idea of a great time. But going away, and there's this point where we're in the song and I'm trying my best. I'm sat down and she says, stand up. And so I'm like, really? And so we all stand up, but have you ever been on a bike where you're pedaling too fast? And as I stood up, my resistance was too low, and so my feet just went like round. You know what I mean? Like your feet going so quickly and so fast, and you think, you know, just sit down and do what you do on a hill, like let your feet go. Oh no, my feet were strapped in. I was going nowhere. I stood up and my legs are just going really fast. And I genuinely thought at one point like, my thighs were just going to wear out and my hips would go to my knees. Like something was going to happen. It was awful. And I feel like sometimes in our lives, we have this perception that that's how we have to ride with God. Like we get in tandem, we're not in tantrum now, but we feel like to achieve God's plans, we've got to go really quickly and we've got to run as fast, race as fast as we can, pedal as fast as we can to what he has for us. But actually, that's not the truth of God. His plans are very different. He has the strength and the power, but often if we think about it, his rhythm is slow and steady. It's not fast and erratic. He's not going to bring you to things and make you move too quickly. If he's bringing you to something, he's already equipped you for it. And so I think about when you see an open field, you put a child in an open field, and what do? They just run as fast as they can because it's like wide open space, no boundaries, I'm going for it. And we can be like that sometimes when God puts us into something new or moves us into a new season, and we just see the wide open field and we run as fast as we can, but it just leads to burnout. And God's not asking that of us. He's asking us to go with his rhythm. And his rhythm is slow and it's steady because it has a good reason. If we put him in charge of our pace, he won't let us burn out. And he takes it slow because God always has some sights for us to see along the way. He doesn't want us to rush through things. He's got some sights to point out, and there might be a few lessons that we learn, and there are a few battles to overcome, but we know that if we're going with his speed and his pace, it's the best place that we could be. It says in Jeremiah 29:11, and this is such a personal scripture for me, but it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you." Like he's got the plans already. We don't have to try and figure it out for him. And that's often what leads us into tantrum mode, when we're trying to make the plans where they should be, but God's got it all figured out already. And in Isaiah 58:11, it says, "The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in a drought." He's going to lead us there. If we let him sit in that front seat and let him take the steering wheel, take the handlebars and direct us, he'll keep the pace slow, he'll keep the pace steady, and he'll always be there with us. We owe it to ourselves to live a life that reaches beyond human boundaries. Don't you agree? Like we serve the living God. If anyone should be living a life that is incredible and amazing, it should be us. Why not? Like, our God is the God of the universe. We should be having the best lives possible. And I know there are struggles, and we know the Christian life isn't easy, but we know the Christian life, when we fully give it over to God, is the best place that we could possibly be. I always remember someone saying to me, the safest place you can ever be is in the middle of God's will. And often that feels so difficult because the middle of God's will looks hard. It pushes us beyond our boundaries, but it's the safest place that you could be. And he's always steering. Like, he never lets go of those handlebars. He never vacates the front seat. He's always there. We all have places in our lives that can switch us from peace and tandem into tantrum. And I think God is maybe highlighting things in your life today, that you have something there that God's saying, just let me take over now. Like, you've done the tantrum. Get up. Pick yourself up, dust yourself off, wipe away the tears, get back on the bike now. I'm ready. You need to be ready for me to take it over and to lead it. And God is standing right there, and he's got an extra seat on the bike. He's got it there ready for us. We just have to get on. And so this morning, I'm wondering, is there something that maybe you need to let go of? Is there something that you know that in your heart, there's the attitude has been one of tantrum and not of tandem? And there's an invitation this morning to just give it over to God, to let him take control, let him be the one who's driving. And so it's time to declare this morning that we want to live in tandem with him. We don't want to be in tantrum mode, we want to be in tandem mode. So I'd just like to pray with you to close. God, I thank you that you have the best possible plan for us. And I thank you that when we surrender ourselves to you, you just take control and you have it all covered. You provide everything that we need. And Lord, if there are places in our lives this morning where we know we need to change, we know that there's been an essence of tantrum that's been flowing through that, God, I pray that you would just highlight it to us and that you would just move there. I pray that people would offer their lives back to you, God, in those areas. Whether it's something that we need to let go of, God, or something that you need to shift and you need to take control, I pray that you would do that this morning. I pray that we would just see a change in circumstance, God, because when we give it over to you and when we surrender things to you, it's always the best plan and you always have the best direction for us. So, Father, this morning, I just give every heart over to you and I pray that you would work in our lives in these areas that you've shown us this morning. And I thank you that you are the living God, and that you are inviting us to take this journey with you. I pray that we would get on those seats, God, and just go at your pace, slow and steady, and the place that is safest for us in your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for listening.